Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
This week we have, well, sort of like our big Valentine's Day special, even though Valentine's has kind of come and gone.
Yeah.
They like to spread it out over the weekend.
Yeah.
It's marketing, people. So in our big Valentine's Day special, we've got A Good Day to Die Hard.
Happy Valentine's Day.
We've got Safe Haven, another Nicholas Sparks movie that'll make you weep and makes me laugh. There's also Beautiful Creatures for the Valentine's for the little... I was going to say the little kids, but...
Not so much.
Those kids nowadays.
The teenagers.
Teenagers and the tweenagers. And then there's Escape from Planet Earth, which no one's going to see.
No.
We're also going to be talking a little bit about DVDs and Blu-rays and some other things. And yeah, we've actually got a really packed show this week.
We do. We're going to have to talk really fast.
Hollywood, what are you doing releasing four movies on a week?
It's
cramping our style. This is a real pain in the keister. Anyways, let's just dive right in. Let's start talking about box office from last week.
Yeah.
We were correct.
Kind of.
We were kind of correct. We were close to being correct. We both said Identity Thief was going to win. I said 20 million and you said 18, if
yeah,
I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Wishful thinking.
It made about twice what you suggested.
Yeah.
As was pointed out by a listener.
Yeah,
of
thanks
ours.
For that.
Thanks, Stephen. Stephen C. from somewhere in the Midwest. I forget where he's from. Kansas City or something like that?
I don't know,
like
but I'm sure he'll let you know now.
He will let me know, I'm sure. But yeah, he's like, hey guys, he went on Twitter and he's like, hey guys, you were completely off. You only got half right. I'm like, well, we got it right. We didn't say anything. We didn't say Side Effects was going to win. No, Identity Thief won with 35 million. And then Warm Bodies came in second with 11 million. Side Effects came in with 9.3. Then it goes down Silver Linings, which is still holding really
still
well.
Doing well.
It might actually crack 100 million by the end of its run, depending on how, if it gets
not
a
bad.
Bump from Oscar next weekend. There's also Argo. Which is down there on number 8. It had a bump. It was out of the top 10 for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And that is... We'll talk
Everybody's
about Oscar.
Everybody's talking about it now, so...
Yeah, we're gonna have our big fat Oscar show next week.
I'm looking forward to that.
And we'll make our predictions and we'll see if we're correct or if
we actually have to predict things?
Well, it's Oscars. We're not picking numbers. We're just saying, yes, this one's going to win or not. And we're not going to do all of them. I don't think... We're not going to be like, oh, costume design. Anna Karenina. Ha, 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 ha. We're going to... So who's the best boy? Best boy? That's what they should do.
Best boy. There
they
you go.
They should do the best boy.
The best grip.
The best grip.
Mm-hmm.
His gripping was amazing. And it's going to be like something like...
I'm a big fan of, you know, a grip. A good...
Really?
Really a good grip.
Do you know what a grip does on a...
Yeah, of course.
What does it do? Ah, busted. You don't know.
I do, but we're not going to get into that now because we have a lot of things to talk about.
A grip moves things is basically all a grip does. He's a glorified PA. Anyway, the other ones just kind of rolled out there. Top Gun 3D came in with $2 million at 11, which, you know, this seems to be the trend for the 3D re-releases.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to not do as well now.
Yeah.
Not much to say about
no,
Top Gun.
It's Top Gun.
Yeah. So Lincoln dropped out of the top 10 for the first time. It got overtaken by Argo.
And it's been on the top 10 since, what, November it came out?
Since it was released, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been out there. So I think that's interesting that Lincoln dropped, but Argo bumped up. I still don't know which is... Well, we'll talk Oscar predictions.
Yeah.
Django Unchained beat Inglourious Basterds overseas finally.
Mm-hmm.
So that's doing very well for Quentin Tarantino. I almost said for Quentin. Like, he's my buddy.
Well, yeah.
Like, we go have coffee.
We hang out.
And he smokes a lot of pot, and I just stare at him going, what are you doing? He's like, I'm done making movies, man. I don't know why he talks like that.
I don't know. He's a lot louder than that.
Yeah. And he's way more animated.
Yeah.
He, like, has the... He is, like, the only, like, hardcore, like, marijuana user in the history of marijuana use.
Who is so intense.
Yeah, it's like the cocaine effect on
yeah.
him.
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly. I'm not going to...
And there come the lawsuits.
Here come... Yeah, Quentin Tarantino cares what happens on this show.
Yeah.
Tarantino barely cares what happens outside of his little bubble.
It could happen.
Anyways, if you want to get a hold of us, you can email us at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can give us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. We have one of those. We're
going to
play that later in the show. So, yes, the voicemail does
work.
It does work.
Very excited about that.
You can go to fatguysatthemovies.com, or you can get us on Facebook at facebook.com/FGATM. And if you want to reach us on Twitter, like Stephen C. did, you can go to twitter.com/KevinCarr for me.
And KDKReviews for me. Or you can find me at realdiscovery.org or nightsandweekends.com.
Or just hanging around Whole Foods.
Whole Foods.
I don't know why I brought that up. We had a conversation.
We had a story about Whole Foods earlier today before we started the show.
That no one heard.
Don't get that. It's an inside joke.
There we are. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. Let's talk about our first movie since we got to squeeze this one in the first segment.
Yeah.
That is Escape from Planet Earth. A star astronaut from another planet gets an SOS from one of his fellow creatures on Earth.
Deep in the heart of the universe, these brothers do everything in their power to protect their galaxy.
I'm the brains, and you're the brawn.
But there's one place.
We've received an SOS from the dark planet.
Even they're not safe.
Welcome to Earth.
Now,
Scorch has been captured
to save his brother.
Self-destruct sequence initiated.
Rescue pods don't self-destruct.
Welcome to Earth, Blue Buddy.
We didn't see this movie.
No, we didn't. I don't know that anybody knows much about it at all.
I don't think anybody's going to see this movie.
No.
Here, this is the crazy thing with the Weinsteins. Let me just give you a little bit of inside baseball.
Tell us about
this.
The Weinsteins, Kevin.
They release a ton of movies a year. They promote maybe two, mm-hmm. maybe three by the end of the year to really push for that Oscar.
Yeah.
The rest they abandon. But they have a really diligent PR department, and I'll get probably 2-3 times a day a press release for whatever the current movie that they're promoting. And they're like, mm-hmm. oh, the Weinsteins, this movie, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, it'd be great if you showed it to us.
Yeah.
I really don't care about your front page on Fandango.com article.
And not so much, no.
Let me see the movie, and then I'll cover it for you. This looks like a bad movie. Did you watch the trailer yet? Have you watched anything? Do you even see a poster?
I've seen a poster, yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen the page on IMDb. That's about as far as I've gotten.
It is a CGI movie, 3D,
mm-hmm.
and it's...
Now here's the warning sign for me.
Okay. Where do the bells and whistles go on?
The main voice of the astronaut is Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
And there's a flashing light above that one.
What was the last movie he did? Furry Vengeance?
Could be.
Furry Vengeance may have been his last one.
Yeah, it's...
He was in Inkheart. I remember that one from like 2008.
Yes, and I liked Inkheart.
Inkheart was okay.
Yeah.
It had its moments.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Brendan Fraser, what's funny with Brendan Fraser is he never quite got out of the Encino Man kind of phase where everything even his most serious, like The Quiet American and that sort of thing, his most serious roles, he still sort of delivered his lines.
Like
guys.
He was a caveman?
Yeah. He has that goofy grin.
It's true.
Remember when he was a movie star?
Yes, I do. I remember it well.
Like Bedazzled?
Oh, yeah.
That was actually a good movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Can't say that I saw it.
You don't agree with me on that one?
I can't say that I saw it.
Oh, it's cute. Mm. It's very early 2000s. It's very last century.
Mm. Oh. I liked Encino Man.
Yeah.
I think I might have it on Blu-ray.
That's very 90s as well.
Or DVD. I don't know. I have it here somewhere.
Anyways, Escape from Planet Earth, it looks like Space Chimps without the chimps.
Nice.
I don't know how many people are going to see it. I was actually going to take my son to see this past week, but all the other movies opened on Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And even like, I mean, I understand Safe Haven because it's a romance and even Beautiful Creature, but Die Hard opened on Valentine's Day. And this one opened on Friday and I didn't get a chance to see it because I would have seen it early. And then I was just like, the weekend comes and I'm not ready for that nonsense. I got other stuff to do. I had to stay at home and watch other movies.
It's
but anyways,
true.
As a contractual obligation, we have to give it a preemptive suck.
Yes, we do.
Take that, Weinsteins and Brendan Fraser and Sofia Vergara doing voiceovers on all these movies. You sound exactly like you always do. Jessica Alba's in
That's the appeal, really.
What's the point of seeing a Jessica Alba movie without actually seeing Jessica Alba in the movie? I ask you.
I couldn't tell you.
Do you care?
Nope, don't really care at
You're
all.
You're not interested in that part.
I can't say that I am, no.
Anyways, preemptive suck for Escape from Planet Earth. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about Die Hard and Safe Haven, the 1-2 punch of Valentine's weekend films.
Yes, sir.
For couples.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. We just got done talking about a movie that nobody's going to see.
No one saw it and nobody's going to see. So suck it.
So let's move on to something else, shall we? You know, a really good Valentine's weekend movie.
Very appropriate for releasing on Valentine's Day.
Yes.
That would be Die Hard. A good day to Die Hard. The new Die Hard movie. John McClane heads to Russia to get his son out of prison, only to stumble upon a terrorist plot.
American?
Yeah. New York.
I hook up?
Yeah.
Welcome to Moscow.
Nobody's gonna die today. Need a hug?
We're not a hugging family.
This is a funny one because so many people have already been online just ripping this movie apart. Like, yeah. It is the worst thing that has ever been made. And you know what? I found it wildly crazy entertaining.
I thought it was perfectly fine.
Yeah. It is not a great movie. I mean, no. The plot here is so convoluted and confusing that I walked out going, what just happened? Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter. I mean, there are explosions and machine guns and car chases and Bruce Willis. What else do you want?
Helicopters and, I mean, just amazingly crazy car special effects driving. Explosions everywhere.
It is absolutely completely unrealistic. And that's great.
Yeah. Well, and the thing, what I find amazing is there was such this bipolar attitude towards A Good Day to Die Hard as it was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Because Die Hard is a beloved film and everyone, you know, oh, it's revered. And there's this guy trying to get in the National Film Registry and all that kind of thing. And everyone's like, I better not be rated PG-13 like the last one. And then it came, it was announced that it's going to be rated R. And everyone's like, yes, we're going to get the yippee-ki-yay line. It's going to be completely unedited.
Yeah, because that's the only thing that matters.
And, yeah, I'm like, okay, sure. And then people saw the movie and they went absolutely bonkers about this, the worst one ever. It's so terrible. It's such a piece of garbage. I can't believe I saw it. And I'm like, whoa. I swear, fanboys on the internet need to take some Midol and chill out. Because usually things are not as good as they say they are, and they're usually not as bad as they say they
are.
Mm-hmm. And let's just put it this way. Part of what makes this ridiculous is there's stuff that happens that no one would ever survive. We had a discussion with somebody we saw the film with, and he's like, he got thrown through a window, catapulted through a window from far away, and he didn't even have a cut on it. And I'm like, so seriously, if you put some cuts on his face, that would have been better? No, you'd be complaining about that.
They drop how many stories?
Multiple times.
Oh, yeah. This happens all the time. And it's okay.
Yeah.
Because it's an old school 80s kind of action movie.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, but it's fun.
And the other thing on top of it is my response to people saying, well, he got catapulted through the window. I'm like, the first movie, he jumps off a building tied to a fire hose.
Yeah.
That's what happens in the first movie. And it reminds me of a lot of people who just, I mean, and you can complain about Indiana Jones 4 for various other things if you want to. But the nuking the fridge moment where like, he got knocked, he would have died. And I'm like, they parachute out of an airplane on a life raft in the second movie. So that all sort of reality gets kicked out the door at this point.
And I guess with Die Hard, I'm not one of those people who's so undyingly loyal to it. I've seen the Die Hard movies. Yeah. I like them. But I'm not going to get all up in arms over, oh, this is the worst movie ever. I can't believe they did this to the franchise. It's fun and it's silly, and that's okay.
It's not great. It's an okay movie. It's not great. It's Jai Courtney in it. Is that how you say his name? Jai?
Jai? I don't know.
Yippee Jai-yay. but he is the son. He plays the son. He's not that good. He's not a good actor. He's the new Sam Worthington.
Yeah, kind of.
And he feels like a WWE star that's been put into movies just because, you know, John Cena, he's going to act now.
Yeah.
And so he's not that good, and it's lacking a little bit of oomph, but that connects it together. Mm. But overall, it's just big, stupid, dumb, fun action.
Oh yeah.
So I enjoyed it. It's exactly what you'd expect from the fifth installment of a 25-year-old franchise that comes out in February instead of the summer.
Exactly.
So with all that said, I'm gonna say it kind of rocks.
I do too. Mm-hmm. I agree.
All right, you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer, if you still are after the Die Hard review.
Well.
And here's my suggestion for this next movie we're going to talk about. if you want to go on a date, because this was this, they both came out on Valentine's Day. Go, and the guys go see Die Hard. Women can go see Safe Haven. You can go meet up and have dinner afterwards. You'll be perfectly happy. Except for the guy who'll be complaining about Die Hard. Oh, it's just not as good as the original.
All right, so now we have Safe Haven.
Yes.
It is the Nicholas Sparks adaptation, stars Julianne Hough as a young woman who runs from her past and finds love in North Carolina.
It's usually just a pit stop for most people.
I like it here.
I'm Alex, nice to meet you.
How are you liking Southport?
It's definitely a change of pace.
From what?
I've had things happen to me in the past, things that still scare me.
About his wife? She passed away a few years ago.
He's gonna find me. I've gotta get out of here.
There's no safer place for you than here with me.
Through years of reviewing these films, you and I have learned, something, you know, that people probably shouldn't sit around us when we watch Nicholas Sparks movies. Because other people come in, like, these are women who are really excited about this movie.
Oh, yeah.
And they come in and they get into it and they bring their tissues and they cry and they sigh. And it's the greatest event of the year for these women. And we sit there and laugh through the whole thing.
Yeah, like the inevitable thing is in a Nicholas Sparks movie, somebody dies.
Yes.
And so Kristen and I were sitting next to each other. We're taking bets on who it was going to be. So if somebody were to die that we want to be like, yes! and the women next to me in the screening.
I did kind of yell out at the end, I was right!
You did. That was true. Because something completely insane happens in this movie. And when I say insane, I mean literally insane.
It is insane.
Literally insane.
It is.
But the women next to me were just weeping in this film. They were like, they're dabbing their eyes. And I'm like, oh, please.
I always feel so heartless and unwomanly when I see a Nicholas Sparks movie.
There was a movie. It's not a Nicholas Sparks movie. It was directed or written by Jodie Paquette, I think, was My Sister's Keeper.
Oh.
But it could have been a Nicholas Sparks movie.
Oh, jeez. No, that's even worse.
Very weepy at the end. And we went and saw this movie, and it was this massive theater. And I remember at the end of it, at the big emotional scene, it's very quiet. You could hear a pin drop. And then suddenly I hear somebody way down in front go, they didn't cough. That was me. But I howled at that point because I'm just like, that one was so into the movie that she was just like wailing because of how sad. And that's the way Safe Haven. It is exactly what you'd expect from a Nicholas Sparks.
Exactly. I mean, we were talking about it and there were things that something would happen like the old guy. Yeah. The old guy comes, oh, the weather's bad. Be careful when you go canoeing. And Josh Duhamel's like, oh no, the weather forecast says it's clear. And Kevin goes, it's going to rain.
Cue the rain.
Yeah. And it rains. It's just one thing after another. We pretty much could predict every single thing along the way.
Yeah, including the insane. Because it's like, there's an insane thing that happens at the end, and I lean over to Kristen, and I'm like, what if this happens? And I was pretty close to what it was.
Yeah. And the thing is, I will give it credit, because it has a little bit of mystery and a little bit of suspense.
Yeah.
And that actually makes it kind of interesting.
Which is more than you can say for, like, Dear John and stuff like that.
Yes.
And I think Julianne Hough and Josh Duhamel, they actually work together. They have a decent chemistry.
Right.
There's a lot of running fingers through the hair and her laughing.
I like him. She either is laughing hysterically or she's intensely pensive.
But she looks really cute and short. So.
Well, there you go.
Anyways, real quick, I'm saying it kind of sucks.
Kind of sucks.
All right, we got to go to a break. When we come back, Beautiful Creatures. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
Hello.
We were talking about Safe Haven. Is there anything else you want to say about Safe Haven? Because it just seems like there's so much to say.
There is. We could talk all day about this one and probably not say anything that fans of Nicholas Sparks would want to hear.
The one thing I did notice with this movie is he's now producing them.
He is.
It's not just a Nicholas Sparks written film.
And, you know, he's such a creative writer that not only do all of his stories go exactly the same way, but now his production company is called Nicholas Sparks Productions.
Yeah, it's kind of like Tyler Perry Productions.
Yes.
You're going to start seeing... You saw Nicholas Sparks' name in this way more than anybody else's name.
Yeah. And there's the thing that I've been kind of thinking about with Nicholas Sparks is that he can't have a whole lot of respect for his fans. You know, I can see him sitting at his desk going, these guys are such idiots. They don't realize that I keep writing the same story.
Well, he shook things up. This wasn't in Georgia because he's from Savannah.
It's always on the coast.
It's in North Carolina.
It's in the Carolinas or it's in Georgia. It's always somewhere. Although the last one was in the South. So that was different.
Honest to God in the South. But, you know, every single one, there's a lot of trees in his movies. And there's a lot in this movie. A lot of
trees.
Running their fingers through there.
Yes, a lot of beaches. We have to go to the beach.
There's like three or four. Yeah, there's three or four shots in this movie though where they're like, "Look at the tree." They even have a scene where they go, "The trees are so beautiful. Look at how gorgeous they are." And the light comes through them, and
I'm
like,
"It's true, they're pretty. Move on."
Really? So, yeah.
It's a choose-your-own Nicholas Sparks adventure. It's just the same thing every time. Yeah. And as I said in my review, look, you can go and spend money and buy your ticket to see this.
Yeah.
Or you can watch whatever's on basic cable for free because it's the same movie.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, just rewatch it. Just pretend different people and actors are in it.
It's true.
Hint, women, people like Josh Duhamel do not exist in this. I mean, people like him, he exists.
Yeah.
But he's married to Fergie.
It's true.
The character he plays does not exist.
No.
The weepy, there's like this whole thing
he's
with his
so
kid
sweet
in there.
And sentiment.
Yeah, with the son is like anti her, and then suddenly he's okay.
All
with
of a sudden,
it.
He's just fine. He's no, like, I like her. She's cool.
She's cool. She looks good in a bikini. She's hot. She was on Dancing with the Stars, and she was in that awesome movie Footloose.
I love that.
That
movie.
Original film. It's a remake. No, it's not. Take that, bacon. Anyways, let's talk about the next film. That's Beautiful Creatures.
Yes, because I'm a girl, and I am going to talk about this one. Because for some reason I'm kid-assigned to talk about these. Okay. A lonely southern teen falls in love with a dark and mysterious new girl in town who turns out to be a witch.
My family's different.
You a witch?
We prefer the term caster.
When I turn 16, my powers will be claimed for either the light or the dark.
You think you can keep Lena so good, so innocent?
Wasn't I the same before I was claimed?
And look at what I am now.
I don't know what I'll be. I have 75 days left, Ethan.
More Valentine's Day fun for us.
Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed. You should have read that in a southern accent.
Like the main character? Because I could not do that.
You know what's so crazy about the accents in this film? They should have had Peter Stormare in this film because he would have just ruined everybody with his terrible southern accents, which we heard in
Should
the
I
last...
have said golly gee in the end? Golly gee.
I was so disappointed that nobody said knee high to a June bug in this movie. It's the worst southern accent, the worst stereotyping of the South.
It was very Gomer Pyle.
Yeah. Mm. And like the girl who plays the main character in it, the caster. They're not witches because it's all politically correct now.
Right, they're casters.
She's Australian, I think.
She is the daughter of Jane Campion.
Oh, really?
She is the director of The Piano.
Wow. She was in the movie Ginger and Rose, Rosa?
Yes.
Rosa?
Mm-hmm.
Rosie?
Yep.
I didn't even know that was her because of the accents. And she's doing this terrible southern accent. Her accent's so bad in this movie, they can't even cut a trailer without her accent slipping. Her accent slips all the time. And the guy who plays the main character, the main boy, he talks like this the whole time.
He is the folksiest, most down-home.
He's like, this is just so fun here, and it's amazing. I mean, he just has ridiculous sayings. I know this is a... And what's great is the trailer's just based on the acclaimed books. And I'm like, really? I don't know if they're acclaimed?
Know.
You're throwing that word around a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm curious to see how these played in the South. Because it's incredibly anti-South.
It's a little insulting, I would say.
Yeah. And it's also just... And although the accents don't come across in the books.
Yeah.
They come across in the movie.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the film, though? Did you... As a woman.
Here's the thing. Mm. If I were a teenage girl, I would probably enjoy it.
Yeah.
For me, though, the next day, I was working on things at my desk, and all of a sudden I realized, I watched a movie last night. I probably need to write a review of that. That is how memorable it was for me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it wasn't something that I hated. It wasn't something that I got all worked up about. I was like, oh, that was the worst thing I've ever seen. It wasn't something that I truly enjoyed. It was just, as I was saying on Twitter afterwards, it was kind of like trying to put a shrug into a minimum of 400 words.
Yeah.
You know, it's got the cast. I mean, we have Jeremy Irons.
It's amazing.
Emma Thompson and Viola Davis. And for that, you know, at least that makes it entertaining.
Yeah.
I'll give it that.
Yeah. That kind of blew my mind when it was being marketed.
Yeah.
And it comes across this way when you watch the movie. It has a real CW feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it should be a television show.
Yeah.
But it has this incredible adult cast.
Yeah.
These Oscar-winning and Oscar-nominated
actors.
And how
can you
actors.
Not love Jeremy Irons?
Yeah.
You know?
And yet it's really a terrible sort of teen romance. It's also so clear they're like, well, Twilight's over.
Yeah.
We got to find the next supernatural romance.
I walked out and I still couldn't figure out what it was about. That was my problem.
And Emmy Rossum is so terrible.
Things about a curse, and I didn't know what the curse had anything to do with anything, and what the curse meant, and why we needed to break it, and how it happened. And
they
that has
stuff
nothing
up.
To do with the fact that she's a witch, and when she turns 16, she might be evil or she might be good. But then there's a curse, and I don't know what the curse is.
What's so crazy about this is they do kind of make stuff up as they go along. There's this point when they kind of reveal the curse, and like, oh, yeah, you know, we didn't tell you this, but this is
by the way,
part of the curse. And it's sort of like, you remember when you were a little kid and you were playing in the, you know, backyard with your friends, and you're like, okay, now let's say that an evil wizard is controlling everything, and now let's say that his...
I totally talked like that.
Yeah, well, everyone was Kevin's version of a Valley Girl. But that's how you just kind of sort of just rattle off these things, and there's like this whole...
kind of rambling.
There's like 20 minutes where she just spends reading a book in the movie.
Yeah.
It's insane.
If I were a teenage girl... I would enjoy it.
If I were a teenage girl,
mm-hmm.
I'd probably stare at myself naked in the mirror all day.
You probably would.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I say this is kind of sucks.
I say it kind of sucks, too.
All right. Well, you're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. What do you think is going to win this weekend? This is a big toss-up because you know, well, let's just throw out a number because let's not get into the minutia of whether we're going to include Thursday box office or
not. Yeah. I'm going to give it to Die Hard.
Really?
I am.
How much?
I don't know. You know, it's tough because there is a lot of hype.
Yeah.
But lately people have been complaining about it. So I'm still going to go 35.
35 for Die Hard?
Yep.
I am going to go on a limb. We're going to split on this one.
Okay.
I'm going to say Safe Haven.
Okay.
And the reason I had Die Hard pegged.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went and saw it on Wednesday night, like the opening 10 o'clock show.
It's true.
There was a dozen people in the theater.
Yeah, and let's talk about that.
Okay.
Because Kevin tells me, oh yeah, I've got my ticket already because I got it last week because it's going to sell out.
Well,
10 o'clock show is going to sell out.
I just didn't want to show up early.
And so he gets me all paranoid about, you know, going to this screening. Well, it's 10 o'clock and everybody's going to be there. So I show up, you know, half hour before the movie starts. And I am the only person in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Just me. Yeah. So, yeah.
And
So thanks a lot for that.
I've heard it hasn't had very good audiences from the people I've heard who've gone to it. And the reason I also think it's not going to do well, even though I enjoyed it for what it was, just average moviegoers that I've heard haven't been reacting well to it.
Hmm.
So I'm going to give it to Safe Haven, and I'm going to say, you know what, I'm going to say $35 million as well.
Okay.
But Safe Haven. So
sure.
$35 for both. You think it's going to be Die Hard. I think it's going to be Nicholas Sparks. And it's Valentine's Day. No girls.
I don't
no
care. Women. I can't give it to Safe Haven. It's just a...
You can't do it.
Nope.
We got to go to a break. When we come back, DVDs. Let the sky fall.
Singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feel, and I'm happy again.
And welcome back for the final segment of Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
We have made it this far.
We have. It's amazing. We got so much to talk about. One of the things we're going to talk about was we got a voicemail here proving that our phone line works.
It works.
This is from Tom from St. Louis. And let's hear what he has to say.
Hi, folks. My name is Tom. I'm calling from St. Louis, Missouri. And I do have a suggestion for a feature. Some of us don't rent DVDs. Some of us don't go to the theater. theater. Some of us actually just watch movies on premium cable, in other words, Showtime, HBO. I wonder if you might have a feature, for example, a premium cable heads up or a premium cable alert for some good movies that are coming out on one of the premium cable services. I enjoy listening to the program, but just happened to stumble onto the show searching my podcast aggregator for movie review programs. So I've been listening for about 2 months now, and I'll continue to do so. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Tom, first of all, for calling in and testing
our voicemail.
Thank you so much. Yes, great job. And, you know, you make a good point. Now, we're going to squeeze in a little bit of premium cable talk real quickly here.
We can do that.
We might make this a regular feature, but it's probably going to be month-to-month type thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're into Netflix, I actually do a podcast with Nicholas Harum from Movies Hate You Too, and it's mm-hmm. new to Netflix. So if you want to hear kind of like the rundown of what's on Netflix coming each month, you can go to fatguysinthemovies.com, and you can find that podcast there. Subscribe to it on iTunes. Actually doing pretty well, because nobody else does it.
Well, there you go.
So let's talk about what are your cable picks? And there's a lot of stuff that comes to premium cable.
Yeah,
so
it is hard to keep track of it all. Really.
Yeah, I would say the big ones to look at is if you're into Nicholas Sparks movies, HBO's running The Lucky One right now. It's a terrible film, but, you know, hey.
Yeah.
If you want your lady friend, your special lady friend to weep, you can show her that.
There's that.
Is there anything from HBO you want to kind of highlight?
You know, I was digging around on HBO's site, and they have HBO Go,
ooh,
where you can find all of this stuff on demand. And I found a movie that I haven't seen since I was in high school.
Uh-oh.
Cool as Ice.
Ooh!
And I am very excited. Now I kind of want to subscribe to HBO just so I can watch that again.
Because where else are you going to find that?
I know.
All the collectors have snatched up the copies.
I've been looking for it because it's been a long time.
Is it on DVD?
It's got to be somewhere.
It's probably just on VHS.
I don't know. I think it might be on DVD somewhere.
Was right around the time when Vanilla Ice was doing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
Oh, man.
Showtime has a whole bunch of Oscar stuff. It's got like The Iron Lady and The King's Speech, if you want to kind of catch up on recent Oscar movies, and The Help. Apparently Showtime is like, enough of that, you know, nonsense of, you know, mainstream stuff. Let's do the Oscar winners.
Well, they also have Your Sister's Sister, which is a little bit obscure,
yes,
but a mumblecore film that I actually loved.
Okay.
So there's that. And if you look at some of the older stuff, they have The Game showing right now.
Oh, is that the one, the David Fincher
David
movie?
David Fincher one.
That's not a bad movie.
Yeah.
It was a follow-up to Seven, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to Stars, there's an interesting like 1-2 punch. You can watch Hysteria, which is the development of, let's just say, the female sex toy. And Think Like a Man, which is about men trying to replace the female sex toy.
And also about women trying to take advantage of men.
It's true. It's a very feminist month on Stars.
You can also find Midnight in Paris,
which
is wonderful. The Thomas Crown Affair, the one with Pierce Brosnan.
Okay, the more recent. Well, the more last century.
Well,
guys.
And Finding Nemo.
Oh, such a beautiful movie.
Yes.
They're making a sequel. Did you hear that?
I did.
I don't know how good that's going to be.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Cinemax, you've got the ones I really want to highlight is Cowboys and Aliens. There's also Saving Private Ryan, another Oscar film. And then Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows. But avoid Project X because that's showing up on
Please
Cinemax.
Do
not watch that movie.
Yes. You can also find The Blues Brothers
is
playing, the original one.
Not the 2000 one, which is terrible.
No. And Gross Point Blank.
Ooh, John Cusack in his prime.
And also Seven.
Ooh. You can watch Seven and then you can go back and watch The
there
Game
you
on
go.
One of the other
networks. Yep.
Wow. So there you go, Tom. We might start talking about that. Not every week, but maybe on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
Just to kind of highlight what's kind of cool out there if you've got premium cable and you don't want to, don't want to find a red box somewhere to find the more recent stuff.
There you go.
But now we have time for our world famous
DVD roundup.
That's right. This week is a big week. Actually, there's some nice stuff. The big one is Skyfall.
Yes.
Which you heard in the break. We had Adele singing for us.
Nice.
Yeah. I love Skyfall.
I did too. It was one of my favorite movies of last year.
Really?
It made my top 10.
Wow.
Quite high up my top 10, I
really?
Think. Yeah.
See, I liked it. I didn't like it as much as Casino Royale.
Mm.
But I thought it was... The one big thing about it is it does sort of make it a little bit more like a British TV show because they kind of go to this modern MI5, which I do kind of miss the old school MI5 from the 70s and 80s that they did in the James Bond. But this is very techie And of course, they have the new Cube played by Ben Whishaw.
Right. And I like that they make it timely. Yeah. You know, they take the old school stuff. There are some really cool throwbacks in this movie.
Yeah.
But they also make it timely with, you know, a villain who's technologically advanced, shall we say.
He's not a robot.
And
he just knows a lot about it.
And there are some personal touches that I really appreciated. Mm-hmm. You know, they take a look back at where Bond comes from. Yeah. And I loved that.
That always is a winner for with audiences, is giving a little bit of Bond's history. Mm-hmm. That's happened in Casino Royale. That happened in Her Majesty's Secret Service, which is a terrible film. But, you know, the whole Diana Riggs side's good. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Skyfall's definitely worth checking out. There's also, not as good, The Man with the Iron Fist, a ridiculously crazy movie about Kung Fu revenge, directed by the RZA. Because he's Chinese. He's not Chinese. It also has Lucy Liu and Russell Crowe in the fattest performance he's ever done in his life.
Well, that's saying something.
Did you see it?
I did not.
It's kind of out there. It was a bad movie, but I kind of want to see it again.
There you go.
I've got the Blu-ray at home. I better watch it.
Fabulous.
There's also Perks of Being a Wallflower. This sounds like your kind of movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I did. It's a teen drama with quirky characters.
Coming of age.
Yeah. And it's a sweet movie. Emma Watson is in it, and she's wonderful.
She is very adorable in this movie. I'm not a big fan of that pixie haircut, but I think it works on her.
I like the haircut.
And you
I kind of wish I could pull that off.
You can't do the pixie haircut?
I don't think I could pull it off.
I have the pixie haircut.
You do.
Right now.
It is beautiful.
There's no haircut. It's just no hair whatsoever. I trimmed my beard, though. Did you notice that?
I did.
I no longer have my big bushy Russell Crowe mustache.
Yeah, I'll kind of miss it, but, you know.
Well, I can always grow it back because you want it.
Yeah, I know.
There's also The Sessions, which is, I blow hot and cold on this movie.
Yeah.
This is, of course, John Hawkes playing a man who's in an iron lung who hires a sexual surrogate who's not a prostitute.
Not a
prostitute.
Don't even think it.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get a sexual surrogate and have your insurance cover it? I wonder if I could pull that off. Only I don't want Helen Hunt because she kind of looks like Mr. Spock in this movie.
Nice.
She's got this weird blue eyeshadow and these pointed eyebrows.
Eyebrows? Yeah, that's what those things are that you're pointing to?
Pointed, eyebrows. Yeah, not her pointed ears. But part of the thing is she's like 40, well, no, she's like, what? 86, I think, is how old she is.
Okay.
But she's supposed to be playing in her 30s, and it just isn't working. She's completely naked in the movie, which is fine. But I appreciated her naked in whatever she was naked in the 80s.
There you go.
But John Hawkes is great.
He is. He is wonderful. And really, the cast is really good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much. There's also a couple TV shows. You got Gossip Girl Season 6, final season.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. There's Weeds Season 8, and that's the final season of Weeds. Which is a good show. It's kind of out there and weird. Hmm. But, you know, Showtime kind of blindsided HBO before it got, like, Game of Thrones and Boardwalk Empire and in its low point. And that's when they had Weeds. And they also have Nurse Jackie, which is in season 4.
Mm-hmm.
That's out this week. So these are sort of like the Showtime shows that kind of put Showtime on the map again.
Yes.
Californication isn't on the list, but that's another one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That was really kind of edgy. The other one to point out is Bully, which is available on DVD and Blu-ray. Notice that the Weinsteins aren't talking at all about this movie.
Now, this movie hit theaters like a year ago.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's just trickling out on Blu-ray.
And if you know anything about the release of movies, the Weinsteins were all like, we need to see this epidemic of bullying. And, you know, they didn't even give it a decent Oscar push. And this is what I say. This is why I hate the Weinsteins, because they will abandon movies. I wasn't a huge fan of Bully. I thought it was a bit soft of a movie, but... The Weinsteins will do that. They'll abandon a movie for another film.
Yep.
And they said, Silver Lining Playbook, Django Unchained, that's what we're supporting.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they sent out screeners for Bully. I've got one. But they didn't really send out screeners.
Yeah.
They didn't push it.
Yeah,
it's sort of like the push that WE got last year because they knew no one was going to vote for that.
Yes,
garbage.
It's true.
But yes.
So my big one of the week.
Yeah.
The Warner Brothers... Let me start that over.
Yeah.
The Warner Brothers 20 film collection of classic musicals.
That's a lot.
Yes, it is a lot, and I have been watching it all week.
Are you singing and dancing in the rain?
No, I've kind of been crashed out on the couch with a sick baby. But
drinking vodka just
but
because
they've there. Really worked for her. So she can tell you that Singing in the Rain and Hairspray are great for napping. And An American in Paris makes her very mad. so, but it's a great collection.
All right, well, we got to wrap up here. Stinger of the Week, Silent Hill Revelations. It makes no sense. The review wrap-up, A Good Day to Die Hard, we both said kind of rocks. Safe Haven, we said kind of sucks. Beautiful Creatures, we both said kind of sucks. And Escape from Planet Earth. We will talk to you guys next week.
Bye.